Jim Beverly here.
You didn't just hear me talking about you, did you?
No.
Good. How are you?
Fine.
Jim, you're live on the show. Folks, this is Dr. James A. Beverly. Jim has been a regular guest, a fairly regular guest on our show. And today we're going to talk about Satanism versus Satanism. You know, when I ask the question of our listeners, we're giving him too much attention or not enough, I think that's a confusing question for many people. Jim, do you think people really have a solid understanding of Satan or not?
No, I don't think so. Most people believe popular mythology about Satanism, and most Christians, for example, don't know that Satan is not talked about that much in the Bible.
So, now, but, no, hold on, but a lot of people say Jesus taught more about money and Satan than anything else.
No, that's not. He taught a lot about money. He didn't teach a lot about Satan.
Okay.
Unlike later Christian theology, Jesus wasn't obsessed with satanic stuff. But starting about 1200 A.D., Christian theology got obsessed with Satanism. It died out for centuries. The obsession about Satanism lasted about 400 years, and then it died out. And then it resurfaced again in the 1960s, 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Well, of course, we just spoke with Mike Warnke a little while ago. I'm not sure whether you caught any of that interview. You're probably so busy you'll get it later.
Actually, I wasn't feeling well today, Drew, so I had a nap and just got up in order to be on your show.
I so appreciate that, Jim. That is just tremendous. Folks.
So I didn't get to hear Mike.
No, that's okay. Dr. James Beverly. Dr. Beverly is the Associate Director of the Institute for Study of American Religion in Santa Barbara, California, and Professor at Tyndale Seminary in Toronto, Canada. And you have this book, Religions from A to Z, or Z, depending where you live. And there's a whole chapter on Satanism in here.
Yep.
I've got it in my hands.
I've actually made that one of my studies, Drew. I've spent a lot of time studying witchcraft and Satanism. I have a huge collection of books on Satanism and witchcraft, and I've been to witchcraft meetings. Now, as soon as I say that, I could get in trouble with some listeners, so let me tell you. I never go to witchcraft meetings where I'm going to be killed. Otherwise, I wouldn't be talking to you now.
Right.
Secondly, I never go to worship. I go to watch.
Right.
It's sort of like a detective looking at a crime scene.
Right.
So, and also I go to the kind of witchcraft meetings where the witches don't believe in Satan, don't sacrifice cats, and don't believe in, you know, killing animals on Halloween night.
Right, right. Okay, as far as Satanism is concerned, if I understand this right, Dr. Beverly.
You can call me Jim, Drew.
I just love the Dr. Beverly thing.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Satanism can be used in, what, 5 different ways, right?
Yeah, it's actually very confusing. So,
oh, thanks.
I'll tell you what. Well, it's only confusing if you fail to realize that Satanism is like almost any other topic. You have to make a distinction between different types.
Okay.
So, here's one of the weirdest things for people to hear. Like when I mention this in class, my students can hardly believe it. Here, most Satanists in our world today don't believe in Satan.
Excuse me?
Most Satanists don't believe in Satan. For example, Anton LaVey, who founded the Church of Satan in the 60s and wrote the Satanic Bible, does not believe in Satan. If you read the Satanic Bible, he says that. He said that in his interviews. His family said it when he was alive and after he was alive. And one of his members, Michael Aquino, even quit the Church of Satan because he didn't think Anton LaVey took Satan seriously.
So it really should be the Church of Anarchy or Narcissism. You do what you
do. Oh, actually,
hedonism.
Very good point. The Church of Narcissism. What LaVey said is he wanted to start a church to get back at Christians and their wimpy, weak theology and philosophy, and his movement is about worshiping self. In fact, one of the leading Satanists of our time said, when Satanists say, "Hail Satan," it actually means, "Hail me. I'm the hero. It's all about me and what I want and how much I can have fun in life and not turn the other cheek." So how's that weird, Drew?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for freaking my head out right away. I appreciate it. What's the next category of Satanism?
Well, here's the way to think of it. Think of the Satanists who don't believe in Satan as one category.
Okay.
Then there's Satanists who claim that they believe in a real Satan, but they don't do evil. They don't do evil as in killing people or killing cats. And then you could move to Satanists who don't believe in Satan, or do believe in Satan, but actually do wicked criminal things. Maybe Richard Ramirez is one of those examples. He's a serial killer, but he claimed to worship Satan. So there you have the worst category, the kind you wouldn't want to have for your neighbor.
Man, who is the spookiest person you've ever met? And, you know, you've been doing all this investigational, observational, research kind of stuff. Have you ever met somebody that just wigged you right out who was into the Satanist thing?
Well, I haven't met him. I'm on an email list of satanic groups. Different.
Talk about spam issues. Holy cow. Yeah.
Yeah, so I have like about 10,000 emails from Satanists on my computer. And there's a Satanist name. His email name is Andy Christ. I think it's 666-999, but it's something like that.
Okay.
He spooks me out. He is so hateful and so nasty. Sometimes I just show students a printout of one of his emails, and they're freaked out, and I'm freaked out every time I look at it. Now, it doesn't hurt my faith. I think God built me, Drew, so that I can take studying this stuff.
Right.
Doesn't bother me.
You have a thick skin of faith.
Yeah, or just God gifted me in a way where I love to study strange religious stuff. And
but would you recommend this to other people?
I'd only recommend it to people who love, who are equipped by God to do it. I had one student once who wanted to help me on research, and she got into studying some of the weird stuff I study, and she had to quit. It hurt her spiritually.
Right.
But some people are built to study false doctrine. I think I'm built that way.
Well, I'm glad you are, and I'm glad you're doing it. You just seem to be so level-headed in all this stuff. That's why I kind of wanted to hook up with you. There's a few people out there that like to dabble in this stuff and call themselves experts, and they just, I don't know, they seem to be a little too sensationalistic.
Well, this is an area where there's a lot of false claims. You know, in 1983, some people in a nursery daycare place in California named the McMartin School were charged with satanic ritual abuse.
Right. Was that real?
Well, they spent $15 million trying to put one of the accused in jail, and never happened. They dropped most of the charges.
Wow.
Because what happened is a woman who was later diagnosed with severe mental problems accused the daycare of sexual and ritual abuse of children, and the whole case fell apart.
That's crazy.
And what's really sad in all this is, two things. First, it ruins the lives of those falsely accused, and secondly, here, if you want to talk about the way Satan works, Drew, to use spiritual language. False charges about Satanism made it more difficult over time for police to prosecute real crime against children. Because in some of the famous satanic trials of the 80s, when this was almost an epidemic, in some of those trials, the kids would lie about Satanism and about sexual abuse. And later on, the lies of those children were used in other court cases to get pedophiles off of real charges.
That's brutal.
And by the way, those who want to look at this on the web can type in the name Ken Lanning, L-A-N-N-I-N-G. He's he was the FBI's top expert on child sex abuse and satanic stuff. At first, he believed that the popular idea could be true that there's Satanists all over the place who kill people and sexually assault children. And the reason he believed that was possible is because he studied what human beings do to children in child sex crimes. And given what he saw there, he was willing to think there's some people who are Satanists who engage in satanic killings and ritual abuse. But as he investigated cases all over the world, the stories often evaporated.
Dr. James Beverly on the phone with us here. Jim has been a guest on our show quite regularly, and today he joins us to talk about one of the chapters in his book, Religions A to Z, or Z. Satanism is what we're talking about, because it's the Halloween show. And by the way, Alice Cooper was supposed to be on our show today. We just had some email issues there. I think his wife, Cheryl, thought, because I said Halloween special, that we wanted to interview him on the 31st. Jim, Rebecca Brown.
Yep.
Who is she?
She's one of the famous people from the last 20 years who claimed stories involving Satanism. Her book, He Came to Set the Captives Free, sold an incredible number of copies. My particular version is like the 25th printing. So she claimed to be a medical doctor from the Midwest who helped a woman named Elaine get out of entanglement in Satanism. Now, here's what I'd like the listeners to think about, Drew. At what point does the story sort of, do the wheels fall off the wagon? Here's what she says. She says her name is Rebecca Brown. She claims to be a medical doctor. She claims that she helped a woman named Elaine get out of Satanism. Now, could all that be true? Okay, let's say yes. Next, Elaine says she married Satan in a real wedding ceremony. I think it was in a Presbyterian church in Texas. Okay, how does that sound? Then the story continues. Elaine went to Satan's mansion in California, and then after the honeymoon, she flew on a private jet supplied by Satan to meet with the Pope in Rome in order to build the One World Church of the Antichrist.
That sounds like the Da Vinci Code.
Well, except in this case, well, I suppose Dan Brown thinks his story is basically true as well. So, well, it was a novel, but it had all this stuff about we know the Priory of Sion and the body of Mary Magdalene. Well, in Rebecca's case, her name's not really Rebecca Brown. She changed her name because she didn't want her readers to know that she was disbarred from medicine in the state of Indiana.
Okay.
So her original name was Irene Bailey. And, you know, I don't think she married Satan. I don't think she took a Learjet to Rome to meet with the Pope. But, of course, if you're a real strong anti-Catholic, you buy into stories like that.
Where does the Illuminati fit in with all this satanic connection? Is there a connection between Satan and the Illuminati?
Well, the big thing to ask about the Illuminati is, which Illuminati are you talking about?
Right.
In the 1700s, there was a real group in Europe that was designed as a political group. It was crushed, I think, by the Bavarian government. After that, rumors started all over Europe about the Illuminati were still alive. So now when you talk about the Illuminati, you have to ask, which gossip or rumor are you talking about? Are you talking about the Illuminati connected with Freemasonry or witchcraft or Satanism? Or I've seen the Illuminati's part of the Pentecostal Church. So what you see when you list all the different sort of theories about who the Illuminati are, you quickly see that it doesn't look like they exist at all. Here's something, Drew.
Yeah, yeah. I love listening to you, by the way. Most guests just bore me to tears, but you're interesting.
I bet you say that to every guest, don't you? The good old move.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Here's something for people to think about. If they believe that there's a super secret society called the Illuminati that are going to be used by the Antichrist to bring in, say, the end of the world, and this group has more power than any group in the world, including the U.S. government, Russia, China, etc., well, then whoever goes against that group better be really careful, Drew, because they're listening.
Well, let's talk about Alex Jones. Alex, have you heard of him?
Nope, haven't heard of him.
Infowars.com. Alex Jones has got this personal mandate. He's on a few radio stations to sort of take down the Illuminati and warn everybody about it, and he speaks out, and he has all these conspiracy things going on. I'm thinking, you know, if you really are hitting the nail on the head, you would have been dead a while ago, buddy.
Right. Except here's how conspiracy theories work, Drew.
Yeah.
It can explain everything. So if you said to him, "How come you're still alive?" he would say, "Well, one, he could claim God's protection." That sounds
yeah.
Good.
Or he could say it would draw more attention, so they wouldn't kill me.
That's right.
Right.
But, you know, any time I've ever looked at details of conspiracy theories about Illuminati, they evaporate. I think it's easy to tell who runs the world. Just read the main newspapers of the world, and you read all about the major political figures who have enormous power and who are protected by militaries of nations and secret service agents and so on and so forth.
Jim, I want to just share with you a quick scenario and then get your opinion on this just before we let you go. Again, Dr. Jim Beverly on the phone with us. Was it 2 years ago? I was riding my horse kind of out in the middle of nowhere, across a bridge, over a little river, just in through some acreage, and there all of a sudden there's a big old pond there, and there was a shack by the pond. And as I rode up towards the shack, this was, you know, it was daylight and everything. It was a bit dusky, but it was daylight. I got kind of creeped out a little bit. Now, I grew up in the funeral business. I don't get creeped out at much, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, well, maybe I should just shout out in case someone's in there, because if they jump out and get all scared at the fact that I ride up with my horse is going to bolt. I was thinking about my own safety. So I just kind of shouted out a little bit, and no response. But I still kind of felt a little creepy. Anyway, I got off my horse, walked up to the shack. The door was open, you know, busted windows, all that kind of stuff. Kind of poked my head in and looked around, and there was an old car bench from a van or something like that, another chair off in the corner, a table. It was kind of hard to see that, you know, it was a bit, my eyes were adjusting to the light. And then I kind of went, oh, okay, there's nothing really in here. I kind of walked away. And then I thought, hold on a second. I looked back, and there was a candle on the table, and it was lit. So I got a little freaked out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Got on my horse, rode away.
By the way, does horse mean for the sake of...
No, not hog. No.
We're talking real horse?
We're talking real horse here, yeah.
With four legs?
With four legs and material that is used in gardening.
Wasn't called a Harley Davidson.
No. That's a hog, not
okay.
A horse. Yeah, okay.
Fine.
Anyway, or iron horse. So I go back to the ranch, and then I didn't even dawn on me, because I don't really celebrate Halloween. I'm not a protester. I just don't celebrate or whatever. It was Halloween Eve. It was the night before Halloween. It was October 30th. Now, I mean, that was my experience. In other words, Dr. Jim Beverly, the man who studies the whole satanic stuff and witchcraft and everything, should we be wigged out about Halloween as Jesus people?
If that means should we be concerned about there's a lot of killing on Halloween night, cats are slaughtered, babies are killed, women breed babies for ritual sacrifice, the answer is basically no. In fact, now see, here's the trouble with my view, Drew. It's not popular. People love satanic conspiracy theories. However, what I urge people to do is think really hard about basic facts. And one thing I tell my students and try to obey myself is if you haven't studied something and you don't know a lot about it, it's probably better to keep your mouth shut. So, for example, a lot of people who talk about witchcraft, Satanism, they haven't read the Satanic Bible, they don't know the history of witchcraft. They don't know the scholars who study this stuff. My colleague in Santa Barbara that I work with, Gordon Melton, he's been to hundreds of witchcraft meetings and been all over the world studying it. So the idea that we need to be paranoid because there's all this blood on Halloween night, that's not true. Yes, once in a while wicked things happen. I'm not particularly a fan of Halloween. All the obsession with horror stuff and witchcraft, that I don't really like that. But we hurt our witness by being careless on all these rumors. It actually makes us look foolish to witches who don't believe in Satan when we just put everybody in one big satanic cauldron. Here's what is amazing to think about in terms of if Satan is the enemy of humans and loves death, think of this. On Halloween Day, and the day before, and the day after, and 10 days after, 30 to 50,000 children are going to die of starvation. So while we can get obsessed with, you know, so-called 50,000 murders a year done by Satanists, which isn't true, we're not really, really breaking our hearts and doing what we can to deal with the fact that in our world, Satan gets his way by the structures of wickedness that lead 30 to 50,000 children to die every day.
Well said. Absolutely well said. That's why I love having you on the show, Jim. I appreciate your time and what you do. Dr. James Beverly, the website you want to go to, especially if you want to get some of these books, is jimbeverly.com. That's got B-E-V-E-R-L-E-Y. If you think there needs an E in it, you're right. jimbeverly.com. He's actually got the Drew Marshall Show special on this. You got to tell folks about it, because I still think you're nuts for doing this, Jim.
Well, I don't have it all memorized, but they can get a copy of my book on the Da Vinci Code, Religions A to Z. I think there's another book out on the Toronto Blessing, plus a couple of PowerPoint presentations. So it's all for $30. It's a good deal.
Yeah, that's insane.
By the way, do you want to hear a great conspiracy theory?
Oh, please.
I learned this from one of my students about 15 years ago or 10 years ago.
Yeah.
There was a story in Kingston about police being part of a satanic group.
Oh, and I remember that. Killed
people every weekend.
Yep.
So one of my students moved to Kingston, and a roommate claimed to be part of this satanic network and then got out. So I talked to the student about it, and I said, well, you know, if the police are regularly blocking sections of Kingston to kill people on the weekend, well, without being stupid, why don't you just drive around and see if there's police roadblocks every weekend, you know, so they can do their wickedness in a certain part of Kingston. So this student found out that his roommate wasn't really into truth. He couldn't even tell the truth if he was talking about whether he was going to the store to get a loaf of bread.
Right.
So he tended to not think he was accurate about Satanism. Anyway, the student mentioned my name to a Christian therapist in Kingston, and that person said, you know, remember, they're everywhere. And my student was taken back and said, well, what do you mean? They're everywhere. And then he realized this Christian therapist was saying that I was a Satanist.
Oh.
So I've infiltrated Canada's largest seminary.
Good for you.
Of course, there's another twist here, Drew.
Yeah.
Do you ever think that maybe you're a Satanist, too? Hey, now listen, I want people who are listening to realize
Jim,
that I believe Satan is real. I believe in demonic possession.
Yeah.
I believe that people do wicked, unimaginable things in the name of Satan, and sometimes wicked things in the name of God. In fact, usually wicked things are done if there's a divinity invoked. It's usually this is God's work, as we, you know, blow up the World Trade Center.
Exactly.
So I don't want to understate evil, but I do want to tell people this is one area where Christians have been very careless with facts.
Hmm.
I read one time about in Las Vegas there was regular ritual killing. I forget how many a year, you know, so many people killed in satanic rituals. So I phoned the Las Vegas Police Department and asked one of the officers to check the database, and he said, we have no reports of satanic killings in Las Vegas in the last year.
Hmm.
So we need to be careful with truth, you know. You'll know the truth, it will set you free.
Every time I go to Las Vegas, I get killed in a blackjack table. That's about it.
We'll do gambling another week, Drew, and you can confess your sin.
Yeah, that's good. Jim Beverly is the website, folks, at www.jimbeverly, BEVERLEY.com. You can get the Drew Marshall Show special. As I said, I think you're nuts. $30 for like 4,000 books. I don't know what it is. Religions from A to Z and everything else, Da Vinci Code stuff. Jim, thanks. I always appreciate your spin on things, man.
Great to talk to you, Drew.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. He's a good guy. I love listening to Jim. I wish I'd had him as a prof when I was going to Knowledge College. Hey, folks, do you see anything wrong with Christians going to horror movies? We're going to talk about that coming up real soon, Christians going to horror movies. But before we do that, we're going to speak with a Christian hypnotist. I told you this is a wild show today, folks. Absolutely bizarre Halloween special show today. I never thought these words would ever coexist. But yet they do. We'll find out what this guy really thinks. And you can send me hate mail later. DrewMarshall.ca, that's our website. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Want to find out who's on the Drew Marshall Show next week? Sign up for our weekly email updates online at DrewMarshall.ca.
Hi, this is Amy Grant.
And I'm Drew Marshall.
Sponsoring a child through compassion can change the life of the child and the sponsor. I know because it happened to me. Doesn't take much to sponsor a child. Along the way, you'll discover the joy of demonstrating God's love. I know I did.
I'm asking for you to visit my website today, drewmarshall.ca,
and find out how you can become a compassion sponsor.
Just click on the compassion banner on the left side of the page. This will take you to my personal compassion webpage, where you'll see before you 12 children from various countries that need you to sponsor them. They need you to write to them now. They need you to reach out to them now. And if for some reason you aren't led to sponsor one of those 12 children, just refresh the page and another 12 new children will appear. And the amazing thing is that you can refresh that page time and time again, and 12 more children will come up each time because compassion is doing their job, finding those children that need us the most. So please stop waiting for that other person. That one child needs you. DrewMarshall.ca. Please, sponsor a child with compassion today.
Are you trying to figure out a way to let thousands know about your product, organization, or business? At just pennies per person, advertising on The Drew Marshall Show is far less expensive than television or print. So why not advertise on The Drew Marshall Show? The Drew Marshall Show covers a population of over 6 million with an estimated listenership of 100,000. The Drew Marshall Show is 100% live, talkback radio, and uniquely Canadian. Therefore, people listen longer. The Drew Marshall Show is listened to by men and women of all ages. People who care, people who have opinions, and people who respond. For more information about advertising on The Drew Marshall Show, just contact us through our website at www.drewmarshall.ca. That's drewmarshall.ca. The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.